Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:07. Your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. One of the top stories, Canadian Prime Minister Carney is going to meet with President Trump in about 3 hours, 11:30, actually. And there's other top stories as well. But right now, we want to connect with Gilchrist County Sheriff Bobby Schultz. Good morning, Sheriff. How you doing?
Man, if I was any better, I'd be Bob Rose.
Wow. That'd be a huge pay cut. But, yeah, life is good. I can't complain. It's good to have you, Sheriff. Look, there's a new administration in there. You know, I think we're going to get law and order back. Politicians, you got lawmakers, you got the criminal justice system. All these things are still, I don't know, if everybody can get on the same page, I think we can make some good things happen. You've been in law enforcement for a long time. What do you think, you know, currently is going on, and what do you think the future holds in those areas?
Well, I think we look around, you know, we see what President Trump is doing on many faucets. You know, he's attacking the tariffs. He's making sure he's riding that ship that's been going south for a long period of time. Then you have an outgoing governor who is, you know, considered the law and order governor of the United States. The thing they have in common is they make tough decisions. And it's things, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So they're riding these ships. And I think that the lessons that can be learned is even on a state and a local level, is that we elect people who are going to make some effective change. And we're going to talk about specifically law enforcement, is unleash the power of the law, enforce the laws that you have on the book. You know, it's absurd to have stuff, ordinances, you have state laws, federal laws that you can't enforce. And it makes everybody look bad. It's like all bark with no teeth. And I think that we have that opportunity is to look at some things, fix them, correct them. It may not be popular decisions, and go forward. I mean, it's not easy for President Trump to tell us, hey, we're going to do these tariffs. And in the short term, it's going to be rough on everybody. But in the long term, it is for your better good. And I believe that the same thing with some of the judicial system reforms and law enforcement, that's what we should be doing, is elect people who's going to, one, enforce the law, two, it's going to apply the law appropriately, and then allow them to do their jobs and not just make arbitrarily a law just for the make everybody feel good that you can enforce. And so I think we have an opportunity here in the next 3 years to really change some things that I feel like is disproportionate.
You just came off the experience of having a new jail built. Do you think you'll be picked to be on a panel to help with the redesigning of Alcatraz?
You know, I see that, and sometimes I do get a chuckle. But, you know, he's on the right track, whether they redesign Alcatraz or whatever. The president sees that we have a, rather than reducing sentences, which is absurd, rather than doing some of these other things that others in our country think we should be doing, it's let's build more, let's keep them locked up, because that's how you keep your society safe. And absolutely, if the president calls, asks me to serve on any board, I'll be there. I doubt it, but you know I'm willing. Mr. President, call me.
You got it. There you go. I'll get that to him. Hey, social media, it can be such a great thing, you know, extra set of eyes and ears for law enforcement possibly, but people have opinions and they like to debate and, you know, crimes, law enforcement activities, all that. You know, overall, social media, good, beneficial to law enforcement or not so much?
You know, it cuts both ways. I'm a First Amendment guy. I think, you know, I try to be transparent with what I do. It sometimes can be frustrating when, you know, you see about a crime or a possible crime that's put on social media. It's debated. And, of course, there's a lot, probably say about 95% of the things that we do, that law enforcement can't debate. There's either an ongoing case. There's legalities that you can't do. And so, therefore, it's played out in the court of public opinion, which I do support. I think that reasonably, if you have a crime that occurs in your area, your house, your property, Well, I think probably the most productive thing to do is to contact law enforcement, let them investigate it. If they don't do what they're supposed to do, then you can call out law enforcement and talk about the bad things that go on. But the other side of that is we solve a lot of crime through social media and people being involved. I mean, I just wish everybody would use the lost art of some common sense. In Gilchrist County, I've seen it both ways, and I want them to be interested, but also want them to use a little bit of, again, look at things, and remember there's always two sides to every story, and just because the sheriff's office can't get on there, and not just my sheriff's office, all law enforcement agencies, they can't get out there and debate things, doesn't mean they're being shady or they're not doing things right. It's because they really can't do it. And at the appropriate time, then do a public records request and figure out what happened at the end of that.
Yeah, I mean, when you're in the middle of an investigation, you don't want anything to, you know, ruin that or get in the way of that or impact that negatively. I think most people understand that. You know, when I think of summertime in this area, I naturally think the Springs, and I think a lot of other people do. Obviously, it's a big destination for folks. Gilchrist County has got, you know, major draws because of their springs there. You've had some issues in the past. Any plan you can let us in on or anything that you want to mention that has to do with, you know, the Springs and crowd control, I guess, for lack of a better term?
Well, that's a very good question, Bob. And we've talked about this in the past and the challenges that our county specifically has to try to figure out the issues. And one of them is our county roughly has anywhere between 19 to 21,000 people who reside here. In the summer months, from about April all the way till around August, September, we either double it or quadruple it. And the challenges are is I typically have four to five deputies on the road, and that's a lot of people. And our problem is some of our destinations are private businesses, mm-hmm. So therefore we don't have a lot of say-so on how they regulate and what they do. As we should not, as government should not always be involved in everything. But with that being said, it is challenging to manage the traffic. It is challenging to figure out manpower of how you're going to deal with big situations such as we've had in the past with limited manpower. And then secondly, it's a little hard to message to your people of why taxpayers have to take the brunt of this. And a lot of calls come from these private businesses for service. And, you know, it's tough, but we manage, we want everybody to come to our county, and, you know, have a good time. We ask you to come here on vacation, but don't leave on probation. But if you do, then, you know, we're going to do our job. And if I got to call, every law enforcement agency in North Florida to come, that's what we'll do.
Hey, real quick,
it's challenging.
Campus Carry. I thought I heard you say in the past you were for it. I just want to make sure.
I am for it. Okay. I'm a second. My position, I can't say, is evolved, but you know what? The only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And law enforcement can't be everywhere. Guardians can't be there. Security can't be there. I think we roll with it. At this stage in our lives and where we are in society, I think that it's probably prudent to allow those who want to exercise their Second Amendment right to do so. Get them, hopefully they want to get themselves trained and be proficient with it and know the laws of the state of Florida, and, you know, let's roll with it.
Well, we're trying to get some things done in Tallahassee. The governor's for it, but there's some high-ranking members in the House and the Senate who have, for various reasons, have not even allowed it to get out of committee, but we'll work on it. Sheriff, always a pleasure. We really appreciate, you know, the huge job you have to do, limited manpower, et cetera. So thank you.
The pleasure's all mine. And again, Bob, thank you for always having our six. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Sounds great. Gilchrist County Sheriff Bobby Schultz, Bob Rose Show, rolling. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a Trash Talking Tuesday, brought to you by Florence Recycling. And we still have plenty of things to talk about, including the traveling voucher, the deal that, well, the deal maker's offering. Details on that coming up, 97.3 The Sky. Oh, I just got to read all these complaint emails about Greg, but I thought we threw
Wow. Well, it's a tough gig you got there, Rob.
It really, yeah. Yeah, most of them coming from your mom and your wife.
Well, but, you know. Yeah,
other than that, people think you're all right.
Speaking of my hot wife.
Yes.
Today is our eighth wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah, I'm the lucky one.
And everyone agrees. I was going to say that.
Yeah, I know. I thought I'd beat you to it.
Fantastic. Congratulations. Yes. 8 years?
8 years. Yeah.
All right.
It has flown. Yeah, because we got married in May, and then in September, I joined the Sky. So that was quite a year.
Well, you know, you've got your hot work wife, too.
Well, yeah.
That would
Bob,
be me.
That's true.
No, it really has. Time has really flown.
Yeah.
So congratulations. That is fantastic. Jennifer will always be in my prayers.
She appreciates it. She appreciates that.
No, that is very good. Yeah, no, we just got an email.
Yeah.
I was a little harsh, I guess, with somebody, not this person. They just felt uncomfortable when I kind of went off. I do that every once in a while. Not too often.
Well, I'll let you read it, and I'll give you my response because I have an inside view, possibly. And I don't even know who it's about.
Oh, okay.
I'll give you my opinion.
Hey, Bob, I want to let you know I'm just one of the many folks that listen to you and Greg on a daily basis, excepting what I call snake oil weekends. You and the station are very much a part of our lives. I'm going to complain here. I felt like I was seeing a rough side of you a week or so ago when you felt like the caller was criticizing you, and I believe, rightly or wrongly, you took it very personally. Then you just couldn't stop. I felt a bit embarrassed, like I didn't belong there at the moment. More importantly, it really bugs me when you say the word America like a right-wing Ozark redneck hillbilly. It's just a visceral thing for me, although I know you're just funning around, just my feeling. Thanks so much, Bob. And it comes from Charles.
Okay.
And what were you going to say?
Actually, that was kind of a George Bush thing, wasn't it? America. Isn't that kind of where that kind of...
Yeah.
He kind of gets
I joke on it
one?
Because it's also become sort of a left-wing thing, making fun of, you know, rednecks, I guess, or what they call dumb dirt farmers.
They laugh at people for saying it that way and call you uneducated.
Yes. So, yeah. So I use it kind of against them, if you will, and just
yeah, on the
fun.
Other part, I'm not sure. This is bad to say. I'm not sure which call they're talking about. Because they weren't very specific. You took something personal, they say. So I'm not for sure which one that was.
There are people.
Not that there's that
there,
many,
there are people so. That once Greg has screened them and told them either, you know, stay on the subject or whatever, keep it brief, and they will disregard that or they'll lie about the topic and they'll do their own thing. Some of them just are like, I don't know what you call it, maybe a plant or something. They think that they're funny. They got in and they said something kind of nasty. I don't know what it was. There's some people get a sense of entitlement that, you know, you owe them something. I'm pretty good about letting people do their thing. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's kind of like this is my kitchen table, and I invite everybody in. But if I feel, you know, disrespected, I'm going to cut you off because can, basically. Yeah. And I think I've earned it. I've been here 23 years. So, you know, you have to trust that I have ears and I can pick up things very, very quickly because I've done this over and over again for so long.
And so many times what he's not letting them do is continue the path they're on that you as a listener don't understand they're on yet because of that experience.
Right.
And sometimes we catch them before they even go on. There's a little feeling that we get. And I warn Bob, okay, Bob, this could be one of those.
And So it might appear that, we're cutting off prematurely, but usually there's some sort of history background to back that up generally.
Yep.
But I do have to say, doesn't mean I'm perfect, doesn't mean I, you know, have never had a bad day or, you know, feeling whatever, overly sensitive for a moment on something. I'm human. It's possible.
But typically speaking, if Bob's going off on somebody, there's a good reason for it. You just may not know why. Either, like I said, like he said, background, or we know suddenly where they're going, or we know they've decided to pull rank a little bit and do what they were told they weren't supposed to do or say on the show. So I've been here again 8 years, and it would be hard for me to figure out one that was a legitimate, not agenda-driven or angle-driven call for him to go off on somebody. There's good reason for it if he does.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. I appreciate you having my back. And look, by and large, man, we have the most awesome callers.
Oh, absolutely.
We really do. Yeah. And many of them have been with us for years and years, and we appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
But we always invite new people, new voices.
Yes.
Don't be shy. If I had a dime for every person who told me, man, I was going to call you the other day. I meant to call you. Well, I'd be rich. And the show would even be better if that's possible.
Yeah. So if you're thinking about it when you're on topic or if it's things that make you smile or what's bugging you, just do it.
Yeah, you can call us on the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines, 877-975-9825. Well, I hope everybody's having a great Trash Talking Tuesday because we're just really getting started. We've got plenty more to talk about. You got your top stories. You got a $1,000 offer from the president to leave. I think you have to be an immigrant, though. Not just anybody can take. Rosie O'Donnell's not going to get the $1,000.
Well, she bailed too soon anyway.
Yeah. You know, she'd eat it on the way there. 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's another awesome day that the good Lord has provided us. Let's do something nice with it. Let's be productive today, huh?
Now you're talking.
Greg, you gonna get the car washed? The Jeep, I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know. They're talking about a chance of a shower the next day or two. I don't know. We got a little, the Gainesville Jeepers going to be hanging out Thursday night. So maybe I'll just wait until like Thursday and wash the Jeep. Today I got to get flowers and a card. You know, that's my priority for, since it's my anniversary and all.
Yeah, and you wouldn't wait till like the day of your anniversary. It's not really the day of. Today?
Yeah, today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Now, a lot of times I will do it like the night before or whatever, so it's
and
there
so
in the
when
morning.
She wakes up.
Yeah, but, she, yeah.
Yeah, I'd want to start her day like that.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Honey.
Mm-hmm. And our relationship.
Wow. Wow, okay. Ouch. Ooh. Man, I was just tossing, couple of zingers over there, and all of a sudden,
I put that one out of the park.
All of a sudden, the blood just starts spurting out of my neck. Okay, fair enough. I will change direction, sir.
No, but I know what you're saying. But no, see, what I was thinking was maybe like show up at her office later. She likes to take the flowers to work anyway. Sometimes
you always
make
grand romantic gestures.
I try.
So I'm just trying to have a little fun with you.
Oh, I'm always open.
The English Channel Tunnel opened up on this day. That's the tunnel, not the English Channel itself. That's been open for a long time.
That's true. See, I don't know. I kind of did feel like it's been there for a long, long time. I guess I don't know.
When you said English Channel, I said BBC.
That's true.
And you go, no, not that English Channel.
Not that one.
The one that separates it from France. It was May the 6th on this day in 1994.
See, I would have thought it's older than that. I don't know why. It just feels like it's always been there.
Yes. I agree. It seems like, although I've never been in that tunnel.
Me either. That'd be a weird feeling.
It was Queen Elizabeth was still, in charge of the monarchy anyway. Yep. I mean, and French President François Mitterrand.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they got together and they officially opened it, that connecting Britain and European mainland for the first time since the Ice Age, which is about the time on this day.
Yes.
During the Ice Age,
yes.
The English Channel itself opened.
And the Queen was there as well.
Wow.
She ruled for a long time.
She did.
Not that long.
The Queen rules.
But things like, construction, things like that, I have a whole appreciation for engineers. Because think about what you're doing, where you're tunneling, and what's above you. I mean, that just blows my mind.
It does, and I don't like to think about it too much because it does kind of freak me out.
Oh, it does. So in St. Louis, there are some mines that are on the Missouri side of the Mississippi River.
Mm-hmm.
And these are those huge ones that you see where, they basically build roads on the edge of the mine so these huge trucks can drive
get
up
all
and
the
down,
way down there.
Which is a weird feeling to be standing on those and looking down. But the other weird feeling is knowing that when you're down in there, and I've been down in there with a couple of friends of mine, one is family owned the mines, knowing that the Mississippi River is on the other side of that rock wall, that you're in that
and
mine.
And you're hoping it is
and
solid
you're like,
rock.
I hope that's, yes. We're talking because the Mississippi River is pretty big.
How many people were you with?
Oh, I mean, the whole crew going on.
Oh, that's good because, you know, if you do, if it springs a leak, you know, you stick one thumb in there, you know, another person sticks in, and then if you have one person that can go and get help.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
I never even thought about it
that way.
Yeah,
if it springs a leak, you got to spring into action.
Yeah, spring into action. But that's a little creepy for, I don't know, it's a little scary. So I appreciate the folks who can do that kind of thing.
Hey, the president, the photo of the president at Butler, where you can actually see the bullet streaking by his head, that won a Pulitzer.
And it
should.
That
photo, yeah.
It was an amazing, amazing photograph.
But it was on this day in 1940, John Steinbeck awarded the Pulitzer for The Grapes of Wrath.
Wow.
I feel like I'm choking on the dust right now just thinking about it. The book traces the fictional Jode family of Oklahoma as they lose their family farm and move to California in search of a better life. Of course, they encounter more difficulties and a downward slide into poverty. The book combines simple, plain-spoken language and compelling plot with rich description, one of Steinbeck's most effective works of social commentary. The novel also won the National Book Award. Yep. That's one of those that used to be, I don't know if it is anymore, required reading in school. Yeah. Which became a lot easier once they put stuff in movie forms, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. It's kind of the crypt notes of, you know.
Yeah. It's exactly what it
is. Yeah. Exactly. Did you read the book? No, but I watched the movie.
I did. And I paid enough attention to where I'll still do this little book report or answer these questions for you just fine.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, every situation's differently. Obviously, there's no way a movie can cover what a book does.
Right.
They just don't have time to go into such great detail. Mm-hmm. And a book really does. I mean, it does. It gets deeper, I think, like into your mind, into your brain, sticks with you longer.
Yeah.
You know, the words paint pictures and they're kind of locked in there forever. Whereas if you try to remember any particular scene from the movie, you might remember one or two. But if you read the book, you'll remember a lot more.
And they also have to kind of change it up to keep the plot and interest moving when you watch it. There's been several of those series, limited series, that Jen and I watch, will binge watch. She has read the book already. And so she's going into the perspective, how will they have to water it down? What will they change? Sometimes characters have been altered a little bit. And she's got the contrast of the two.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yes. And there are some movies that have done, I thought, a pretty good job of To Kill a Mockingbird always comes to mind.
Yeah.
Those characters, everything was exactly like I thought when I read the book.
Yeah.
Two California schools. They're leaving the Nevada High School Athletic Association over its policy that bars transgender-identifying males from competing on female sports teams, which I think is becoming pretty much the rule of the land. Back to some sense of normalcy, but maybe not in all parts. In 2025 fall season, Northern California schools North Tahoe and Truckee are leaving the NIAA because of its vote to bar males from girls' sports. You know, these are small towns. I was out there just, what, a year or two ago in that area. Of course, you know, we just had 10 feet of snowfall, but, you know, it is a beautiful area. I don't know how densely the population is. I mean, this is not like a metropolitan type school system.
So are you surprised they're taking that approach then? Wouldn't you think a smaller town might lean towards the direction of having them protected?
Exactly. In other words, their population or percentage of folks that would even fall under those categories, I think, would be rare, but I could be wrong.
Hmm.
The Warriors have been a very successful high school football program out of the Northern California region of the state. Truckee winning a total of 14 state championships in the NIAA. Truckee has won NIAA's Class 3 state title the last three seasons. Wow. So they've got sports programs. Sounds like they've got great football programs. Again, that takes care of the male sports, right? So there's plenty of stuff for the males to be involved in. But you know that's not what it's about. The two schools are leaving the association in order to comply with California state law prohibiting discrimination on the basis of gender identity look, I'm against discrimination on the basis of gender, on the basis of biology.
Right.
But gender identity? Of course, that makes no sense. But they still haven't figured it out, I guess. According to the report, gender identity is the false idea that one can identify as or become a different sex than they were born as. Truckee and North Tahoe are moving into California Interscholastic Federation, which currently is under investigation by the Department of Education after it publicly announced plans to flout President Donald Trump's executive order protecting women's and girls' sports teams from the intrusion of male athletes who identify as transgender. Yeah. This is a pretty basic one.
Yep.
And why some people just refuse to do the right thing. Maybe if I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's 8:45 on the Bob. It's just a yeah. Yeah. 8:45 right now. Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here. It is a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. And we've got more things to talk about, good things for our economy. I'll share with you next on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:50, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. Rwanda has agreed, or at least, well, they're in talks with the Trump administration, and the hope is that they will accept deportees, and they've confirmed that the East African nation is in early stages of talks with the Trump administration about accepting unwanted deportees after El Salvador recently entered into a similar agreement. The country's foreign affairs minister said the government is in the spirit of giving another chance to migrants who have problems across the world. That was during a Sunday interview with Rwandan TV after returning from Washington, D.C. last week. We are in discussions with the United States, and it has not yet reached a stage where we can say exactly how things will proceed, but the talks are ongoing, still in early stages, but looking pretty good. Secretary of State Marco Rubio made it clear that the U.S. is looking for other countries to hold deported criminal migrants during the late April cabinet meeting at the White House. I say this unapologetically, we're actively searching for other countries to take people from third countries, Rubio stated. We are working with other countries. We want to send you some of the most despicable human beings to your countries. Will you do that as a favor to us? Well, Rwanda working things out with the U.S. Then, of course, there's some trade agreements that are getting much closer to being in place. That's a good thing. OPEC has agreed to boost oil output. One of the big benefits of that, well, is obviously lower gas prices for us, but also it'll put a strain on Russia's economy. Maybe they just, you know, won't want to spend the money to keep fighting that war with Ukraine. That could be a beautiful thing if it brings Putin to the peace table. That's what you need. You need some kind of leverage. OPEC has reportedly begun to unwind voluntary production cuts, reducing oil prices to punish recalcitrant members and perhaps to please President Donald Trump. The plus configuration of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC Plus, which includes Russia, apparently agreed to accelerate production for a second consecutive month over the weekend, and oil prices immediately drop over $2 a barrel. Now, that will reduce Russia's primary income stream. Russia's economy is dependent on oil revenues, which make up about 30% of its total state budget. Lower oil prices have repeatedly concerned Russian authorities. The Kyiv Independent noted that on Monday. The Ukrainians will be pleased by any development that makes it harder for Russia to finance the stalemated invasion it launched in 2022. All right, so this can be beneficial on several different areas, which Trump has always been good at understanding the energy game, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then basically it boils down to really the more The more energy, the better. The better you are positioned, you can sell and generate revenue as an export. You can make sure that consumers are paying lower prices in the U.S., which leads to more buying power for Americans. And the University of Florida is entertaining a special guest who may end up being the president of UF on a very, very short list that includes basically no one else.
That's a short list, yeah.
Santa J. Ono is the sole finalist after nearly a 10-month search for a permanent president, and he will be visiting the campus today. And he pioneered work apparently on the immune system and eye disease. He was elected to the National Academy of Medicine and American Association of Advancement of Science, serves on the American Council of Education, chairs the Council of Presidents of the Association of Public and Land-Grant Universities. Also a member of the United States-Japan Foundation Board of Trustees. Previously served as the University of British Columbia's 15th president, University of Cincinnati's 28th president, and Emory University's senior vice provost. He's currently at the University of Michigan. So if it all works out, and how long before we'll be bored with all the name jokes?
Well, we started them yesterday.
Yes, we did. We wanted to get a head start on everybody.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
But if you got a name, Santa J. Ono.
You've got a couple of famous connections
there. There's some things there. There's material to work with.
Yes. One brings you to mind of happy songs, and the other you hope she doesn't sing. You've heard Yoko Ono, air quotes, sing, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I would.
It was so bad, it broke up the band.
Wow. It broke up.
He said he's not going to break up the band. He already said that.
Well, that was good.
He didn't say that.
I said it. Oh, shucks.
I'm going to work it in there. We're going to stretch that material out.
That would have been a great sense of humor on his part, though.
Yes.
Well, you know he's heard every Santa and Ono joke probably known to mankind.
Well, we're gonna try them all out on him. See if he has a thick skin and good.
Yep.
We don't need. We don't need anybody that's part of the United States of the easily offended.
No.
Speaking of which.
Yes.
PETA, not PETA bread.
No.
PETA, the organization, Ashley Byrne. We're going to have a little chat with her about PETA, and the president might be part of it. Yep. Hang in there. She's coming up next on News Talk 97.3, The Sky.